For the past 3 months, we have been following the story of Joshua. The book is 24 chapters long. The first 12 chapters we studied in depth, which as we followed the children of Israel as they conquered nations and expanded their influence in that region. The last 12 chapters chronicle the division of the land among the tribes of Israel, culminating with Joshua's challenge to the people to commit by faith to God's covenant. At this point in the story, in chapters 23 and chapters 24, the great leader is approaching his 110th birthday. It's his waning day. He's in a reflective yet feisty mood, sternly reminding the people of God's provision. Let's go together back to the promised land and hear a word from Joshua.
Oh, how old am I? 107. 100. You lose track after a century, I see. 109. 109 years old, Joshua the son of Nun. And I tell you this, the one theme of my life has been the faithfulness of God. The faithfulness of God in my life. Even before I turned 40, I was making bricks down in Egypt, and it was hard. It was hard being in bondage. It was hard making bricks, sometimes without straw. But just before I turned 40, God delivered us, and He delivered us in such a powerful way. 10 plagues, each plague aimed at one of the Egyptian gods. He brought us out, and He separated the waters of the Red Sea, and we went through it. He brought us out into the wilderness, and he fed us with quail and with manna, and he gave us water to drink. And then at 40, Moses chose me. He chose me, Caleb, 10 others, and we went into the land. This was the very land that he had promised Abraham over 400 years earlier. We went into the land, and there were fortified cities, and there were giants. The Anakites lived there at the time. We came back, and Caleb and I gave a report that there were giants and there were giant cities, but God is faithful. Let us trust in the Lord our God. But the other 10 didn't bring back a faithful report. They were faithless ones. They turned and they had, what was it they said? Grasshopper faith. That's what they had, grasshopper faith. We're like grasshoppers compared to the giants in the land. We can't do it. The Lord's not big enough, he said. Well, we had our first church vote. And I lost the next 40 years of my life. Spent my 40s, 50s, 60s, and most of my 70s wandering around in circles, if you know what I mean. And a whole generation died. But about then, I was still quite young. I just turned, I turned 80. Turned 80. I was still quite young at the time. 80 years old, and I was to follow in the footsteps of Moses. It was here that we saw the faithfulness of God really come true. For I led the people into the promised land. A whole new generation willing to take hold of the faithfulness of God. Oh, and some great things we saw. See, the Lord was no longer appearing to us in the pillar of fire, the pillar of cloud, but we followed Him. We followed Him by faith. Faith in His faithfulness. We sent spies in. But this time we didn't have a vote. We sent spies into to Jericho, and through that a woman named Rahab came to faith, and we crossed the Jordan River. And oh, it reminded me of 40 years earlier crossing the Red Sea. The ark went into the water, and the water was parted, and we crossed on dry land. I thought, we got to remember this. So we pulled out 12 stones, and we stacked them up. In fact, the last 7 years, my children and grandchildren will often sit on my lap and say, Joshy, Pappy, what are those stones for? And I would tell them the story of God's faithfulness to His promises. I told them of when I faced the angel of the Lord face to face, and then I had the nerve to say, whose side are you on, mine or my enemies? And the angel of the Lord said,
I'm on neither. I am a commander of the Lord, the God on high. I told them of the apprehension I had walking around Jericho. What kind of a plan was this? It was the plan that trusted in the Lord our God. I told them of the ban we put over the accursed things, and how Achan had taken something under the ban and he had hid it, and how God had judged us. In fact, we had been defeated at Ai because of his sin. But God forgave us, and we defeated Ai. And I told them the moment of God's faithfulness, when the sun and the moon appeared to stand still and God heeded the voice of a man. I told them of the many victories. 7 years of conquest. 7 years we battled. And then it was time to divide up the land and give the allotments to each of the tribes, the 12 tribes of Israel. So I turned to them and I told them, I remember coming and saying, it's time to divide up the land. And in dividing the land, I will promise you this. We must follow the Lord's command. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous. The commandments, the law of Moses that's been given to us. Do not turn to the left and do not turn to the right. But be careful. Be careful to follow all of what the Lord our God has given us. Total obedience. Faithful to the faithful one. And I tell you this. Just one of you will be able to rout 1,000 Anakites. One of you will be able to rout 1,000 Amalekites. 1,000 Hittites. 1,000 Canaanites. Mosquito bite. Sorry. 1,000 of you, for it's the Lord who fights for you. It is the Lord who is with you. So I met individually with each one of the tribe members. I began with Caleb. And given Caleb's allotment, Caleb and I go back 50 years. And I remember coming to him, and it was he and I, at 40 years old, we went and we were the two tribes that came back, and we promised that God was faithful to his promises, and we needed to trust him. Caleb was 78. 78 when we began our 7-year conquest of the land. Does anyone remember his 85th birthday? I do. Caleb turned 85, and I'll never forget what he said. Caleb came to us and said, when I was 40, God promised me this land, the land with the Anakites in the hill country. And I tell you this, at 85, I feel as good and as invigorated as when I was 40. For God has kept me alive and kept me sustained for this moment. And I could take the easy country or the valley or the low country, but I tell you this, at 85, I want to trust God's promises as much as I ever have. And I want to take on the hard country. The country with the Anakites, the giants, the Anakites and the fortified cities. For I am as ready for battle today as I was when I spied out the land. And he did. He did. And we saw God's incredible faithfulness. Faithfulness in taking over the giants. An 85-year-old man out there conquering and fighting the giants of Canaan. But God was faithful. So faithful. Caleb has always been an inspiration to me. It's his faith, not in himself, but in the faithfulness of our God. Then I turned to Ephraim. Ephraim came forward, and I just thanked Ephraim on behalf of all of us. You know the tabernacle over at Shiloh? The permanent residence for the tabernacle of God. The place that the people of God can come and we can enter into the holy, jealous presence of the Lord by entering in through the way God has commanded us and made for us. There is one way in. There is one way to worship Him. And that tabernacle that we carried around for 40 years around the wilderness, that tabernacle will reside in Shiloh. Ephraim, your allotment was because of your conquering the land that the tabernacle shall rest there permanently. That the people of God will worship in spirit and truth because of your faithfulness and obedience to trusting the Lord. But Ephraim, I have this against you. All of us have this against you. You have not fully obeyed the Lord your God. Partial obedience. No. At Gezer, you became fat and comfortable and you did not drive out the Canaanites. You did not drive them out fully. Oh, friends, partial obedience is disobedience. Let us be careful to follow the Lord our God fully. Do not turn to the left and do not turn to the right. Go back to Gezer and drive out the Canaanites. You put them in forced work camps. You're making money off their wickedness and their tributes rather than destroying wickedness. In your life, do not tolerate wickedness. Do not have pet sins and little areas of compromise. No, God wants and desires full obedience for us. And though we are faithless, He is faithful. Beg His forgiveness and walk in the way of God. Manasseh. The tribe of Manasseh. Many of you have heard of Makkar, the mighty warrior Makkar and the Makkarites, some great soldiers from Manasseh. In fact, the great battles that were fought by Makkar, you shall get the Transjordan to the west of the Jordan. That shall be your allotment. That shall be your allotment. Zelophehad. Everyone knows Zelophehad? Zelophehad, one of the sons of Manasseh. He had no sons. Five beautiful daughters. This is one of the things that will have us stand out as a nation. You see that the Hittites and the Canaanites and the Amalekites and the tribes of these worlds, they do not treat men and women with inherent dignity made in the image of God, but we will. One of the things that will stand us out is the law of God and the way in which the Spirit of God rests in us. For we have learned that the Spirit of our God rests in men and women. And we will give the inheritance, not just to men, but to Zelophehad's five daughters. Just as Job gave inheritance to his daughters, so too we will give inheritance. And we will stand out because men and women have dignity. They're all made in the image of God, for the Spirit of God rests in them. Zelophehad, your daughters get an allotment, for God is faithful. God is faithful. But Manasseh, I also have this against you. For you too have compromised. You too have settled. You too have not pushed the Canaanites fully out of the allotment God has given to you. Do not compromise. Trust the Lord your God. Push forward. Faith. Faith that God. God will fight for you. Be strong and courageous. Oh, then I turned and talked to Joseph. Joseph was angry at me. Joseph didn't think he got a big enough share. He came to me and Joseph said, "Our share's not big enough. We got a lot more people than Ephraim or Manasseh. Their allotment's so much bigger than ours. Do you not see how many people we have? And besides, the area you gave us is the hill country. And in the hill country, there's so many Canaanites, and they've got iron chariots, and we just can't do it. Can't do it. We took on iron chariots, and God was faithful. One of us drove out 1,000. God has done it before. No, you will not get another allotment of land. Joseph, you and Manasseh and Ephraim, come together. Take on the forested hill country. Clear the land. Clear the trees. Drive out the Canaanites. Drive them out together. Joseph, you are a powerful and numerous people. And God will fight for you if you will trust Him and be faithful to Him. Come together. Let us not be divided. Let us not be divided as a nation. Let us not be divided as a family. Let us come together and fulfill the promises and the commandments God has given us. Benjamin, Judah, come here. Benjamin, Judah, Dan, all seven of you. How long will you neglect taking the allotment inheritance God has for you? How long? You cannot just sit back in the land and miss the promises and inheritance God has for you. How long will you neglect this? How long will you sit and wait? How long will you sit back and not take hold of the promises God has for you? How long? We've given out the allotments to the other seven. Well, I propose this. All seven of you, send out three representatives to go and survey the land. Go out across the entire land and survey it. And bring those surveys back together. Bring them here to me. In fact, we'll meet at Shiloh or in Shechem. We'll meet there and we shall cast divine lots. And we shall let the Lord our God divide out the land and give you your allotments. Do not neglect taking hold of what God has for you. God wants to bless you. God wants to give you so much more and yet you've settled. So go out. And they did. They did. And they drove out the Canaanites, and they drove out the Hittites. And in that, God fulfilled everything He had said to them in giving them their allotment. Then I turned to Levi. The Levites are those who would lead us in worship. They're the ones who, and the sons of Aaron, who did the sacrifices, the wheat sacrifices, the blood sacrifices. But they were to get no allotment of land. As had been laid out in Deuteronomy, as had been laid out in the law of Moses, their allotment would be the sacrifices that we gave at the altar. That would be their allotment. One of the Levites came and reminded me that in Moses' law it said that they could have pastures. And so we divided up pasture land amongst all the different tribes so their lambs and their sheep could have areas to graze. And they were allowed to live in the cities, Manasseh and Ephraim, within their different lands and allotments. In fact, then we went and set up the cities of refuge. Have you not heard of the cities of refuge? Oh, I told you the many things that will set us apart is God's law. For God knew that when we got in the land, we needed to follow His commandments and follow His law. But He told us to set up seven cities of refuge. These seven cities, under the commandment of the Lord, if you were living in your allotted land and you accidentally murdered someone or someone died accidentally because of unintention, what you would do is you would run to one of the cities of refuge. You would come to the front door and you would knock, and the elders of that city would come and they would say, "Who is this?" And you would plead your case as to why it was unintentional that someone had died. Unless the avenger of blood, the family's relatives or kinsmen, would come and try and avenge your death, the city of refuge would hold you and give you a fair trial. For no one in that land lived in the city. Having given a fair trial, if they found you to be innocent, you would live there. Live in that city until the death of the high priest. And then you could return to your land. See, even as God gave His commandments and gave His law, He understood that there's something wicked in our heart. There's something faithless in our hearts. And His law was to both govern that wickedness, but also to breathe His life into us that we could experience His faithfulness. I think one of the biggest defining moments as a nation, as a family, was what happened with Gad and Reuben. Did you hear about this? Well, Gad and Reuben, rumor had come out that Reuben and Gad had actually built a replica to the Lord's altar. A replica. God had been so precise on building the tabernacle, so precise in how we entered into His presence. What were they thinking to build a replica? And just because it was a walk and a distance to get to the tabernacle, what were they thinking? And so I went with several of the elders, and we confronted Gad, and we confronted Dan. We said, "What are you doing? Being unfaithful to the Lord our God? Do you not remember the sin of Peor? Do you not remember we are still facing the consequences of that sin? Do you not remember Achan? Achan defiled the land, and because of his sin, many died. Do not defile the land. Do not turn your back from the Lord our God." And we pleaded with them. We pleaded with Gad, and we pleaded with Reuben. Do not forsake the Lord our God. Gad and Reuben turned and said, "May it never be. O mighty God, the God and Lord. O mighty God, the God and Lord. The Lord knows that we have not forsaken the Lord. The Lord may judge us. Destroy us this day if we have rebelled against the Lord. Destroy us this day if we are faithless. That is not what we're doing. The Lord, hold us accountable." We built this replica of the Lord's altar out of fear. Fear that one day, your descendants, because God has put the Jordan between your allotment and our allotment, that your descendants one day will say, "You have no part in the Lord, no share in the Lord, for you're on the other side of the Jordan." So we built this. And this is not the tabernacle. We don't have wheat offerings and we don't do blood offerings. It's simply a replica, a witness to us that our people and our descendants shall share in the Lord our God. And one day if your descendants shall say to ours, "What share do you have in the Lord?" Our descendants will say, "Look at this witness, this replica of the altar we have built, because we do have a share in the Lord our God." And through this, it will bring our people together. We have not forsaken the Lord. We're setting up for the next generation that they will understand what it is to worship the one true God. And we were pleased at this. We were pleased at their answer. That the Lord was in this. In fact, we named that altar a witness between God and us, that the Lord is God. Well, today I have my, what might be my last message. that I give to the people of Israel. You see, the allotments have been given, and now the challenge is, will we trust in Him? Will we be faithful to the covenant that God has made with us? So join me. I'm going to bring the people together for one final announcement, one final speech, one final sermon. People of Israel, love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your mind. Do not intermarry with the gods of the Canaanites and the Amalekites. Do not even speak the name or swear by their God's name. No, marry the Lord your God. Love Him. Love Him with your heart. Love Him with your soul. And love Him with your mind. Forsake other gods. Turn away from the strange gods of these nations. Turn away. For the sake of yourself and your next generation and children and grandchildren. For if we intermarry, and if we form traps and snares, they will be thorns in the eye of our children. And they won't be strong, and they won't be courageous, and they will not incline their hearts and lean into the Lord. They won't do it. God loves you. God loves you unconditionally, but His protection is conditional based on your trusting of Him. And though He has been good to us, so good to us, if you choose not to trust Him, if you choose to forsake His protection, He will remove His hand of protection. You will experience evil. You will experience pain by walking outside of His presence. Trust in His faithfulness. Trust in it. It all began with Abraham. God came to Abraham and He made a promise. And He said, I will be faithful to my promise. And through Abraham, He gave him Isaac. And through Isaac, He gave him Jacob. And through Jacob, Joseph. And Joseph and through his descendants, God moved all His people into Egypt. And for 400 years of bondage, God was faithful to fulfill His promises. 10 plagues came. 10 plagues, He pushed back the foreign gods and proved that He was the one true God. And even when the Egyptian armies were on our tail, even when they were pursuing us, God came between us. And God covered them up with darkness as the Red Sea encapsulated them and crushed them. And He led us out. He led us out into the wilderness. And even there, Balak was to come against us. And God, like a hornet, came out and He drove out the Amorites. But as they came against us, Balak decided to come and see if he could get Balaam to curse us. Our own prophets to talk him into cursing us. But God spoke through Balaam's donkey and reminded him to bless us. And He did. He did. And we stepped into the promises of God, and we came to Jericho, and God provided. And we came against the Amorites, and God provided. And we came against the Amalekites, and God provided. God has been faithful. So today, choose. Choose. As you phrase the line in the sand, will you serve the Lord, the gods of Egypt, or the gods of the Amorites? Or will you choose this day to serve the Lord our God? As for my house, we are going to serve the Lord our God. We are going to fully lean and incline our hearts and forsake all other gods. But this one, Yahweh, Jehovah, will you trust us? Will you trust Him? Will you serve Him with your whole heart? You will? You will serve Him? You will serve Him, the one who pushed back the Amorites? You won't be able to serve Him. You won't be able to serve Him. You won't be able to trust Him. Our whole history has been one of faithlessness. No, you don't understand. Our God is a holy God, a jealous God, jealous for His own affection. Will you trust Him? Will you turn away from strange gods and strange idols? You will? Each one of you will? Then let us be a witness to each other. You are a witness to yourself, and you're a witness to each one of us. Even now, go back to your tents. Throw away any strange idols, any foreign gods, and let us commit together to trust the faithfulness of our God. In fact, you know that giant rock over by the oak tree, over next to Shiloh, near the tabernacle? I will inscribe on that rock this covenant. This covenant today. That we are witnesses to each other. That we will covenant to serve and love and obey the Lord our God. And as you come to worship, as you come to offer sacrifices, every time you see it, be reminded of this day. When you chose to covenant and commit yourself to the Lord our God. And if you will do that today, then I will tell you this. God has an inheritance and a promise for you and I, powerful and ready for each one of us to take hold of. Go now and take the inheritance of God. Go now and fulfill and do not neglect everything God has for you. Choose this day who you will serve, be it the God of the Amorites, the God of the Egyptians, or the one true God. Let us pray. God, we do thank you. We thank you for the story of Joshua. We thank you for the reminder it is that you continue to be faithful to your promises. And my story is, and the stories of each one of us here, is the story of those who have wandered, have been faithless. And yet, God, you have pursued us and pursued us. You've asked us to marry you. You've asked us to covenant with you. You've asked us to commit to you. You've asked us to trust you. God, I'm just so thankful for your trust. I'm just so thankful for your promises. I'm just so thankful the way you worked in and through us and continue to here at Horizon. We just love you and bless you even now. And everyone said, amen. Well, in conclusion, I want to share just a couple thoughts. I'm going to invite the band to come out. We're going to sing that song we sang coming in about standing on the promises of God. What's interesting to me is you think about the last 13 chapters of Joshua, if you ever read them, they're pretty wordy, and there's a lot of cities in there, a lot of names in there. But there's a lot of things for each one of us. And then I think, like with Caleb, and like with Manasseh, and like with Ephraim, there are ways in which all of us have our own pet sins and areas of compromise. And we think, that's not going to get us. It's not a big deal. We'll hold it in the corner. Nobody will find out. It's only hurting me. And yet, over and over in the Bible, you see that if we have an area of compromise in our heart that God has shown us, and we don't address that, we don't ask forgiveness for that, we don't repent that. In fact, it was Ephraim and Manasseh and Joseph, their inability to drive out the Canaanites, that when we get from the book of Joshua to the book of Judges, it's those seeds, it's those compromises that cause all of the rebellion, the cycles of rebellion, because they never fully became holy. They never fully set themselves apart. And maybe you can identify with that. Maybe there's an area of your life today that you need to repent of, that you need to say, God, I have settled. Or maybe, like, imagine there's 12 tribes and 7 of them didn't get their allotment. It was so powerful to me as I was reading that he turns to 7 of the tribes and says, how long are you going to neglect taking hold of the promises of God? And I get my little finger out and I start waving my hand at him. I think, that's me. If you think about all the promises God has for us in Scripture and how often we don't take hold of those promises. Like C.S. Lewis, in his writing, he says that our problem is not that we want too much, it's that we want too little. We settle for too little. We settle for materialism. We settle for the things in this life. And yet what God offers us, the glory of the gospel, the glory of his promises, is a life abundant. And many of us have settled for something less. We're just like the tribes. It's also amazing to me, because often growing up in Sunday school, you think of everybody in the Bible doing everything right. And yet when you read the Bible, it's the opposite. You see people bickering and fighting over my plot of land is bigger than your plot of land. I think, that's me. That's my family. You see people having disagreements and yet approaching each other. And through good conflict and through committing together to God, how things can be worked through. And I love it how, in God setting out his law again and again, he's calling you and I to trust him. The whole story of the Bible is him saying, as we've been doing, as facing the giants, the journey of faith. God wants us to take a journey of faith and commit and be in relationship with him. That's what he's asking for. He's asking us to fully stand on and stand in his promises. So I thought we would end the service today by doing that. If you want to stand with me. You know, I love how the book of Joshua ends. We're going to start studying the book of James next week if you want to kind of get ahead of on us for the next 6 weeks. But I love how the book ends. If you ever read the last little paragraph, it says, it came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died. He was 110 years old. And they buried him within the border of the inheritance of Timnath-Serah, which is in the mountains of Ephraim on the north side of Mount Gerish. Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua.
You can see it coming, can't you? As long as Joshua's alive, they served. And all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, which he had done for Israel. And here's what I love. Here's how the book ends. The bones of Joseph. So we're going back several generations now. The bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel had brought up out of Egypt, they buried at Shechem in the plot of ground which Jacob had bought from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and which had become an inheritance to the children of Joseph. What's amazing about that is you read the story of Abraham and the story of Jacob, you're just so frustrated. God, when are you going to come through? God, when are you going to come through? God, when are you going to come through? And so during the 400 years of bondage, they took Joseph, who had bought this little plot of land, but he did not fully get his inheritance. In fact, Hebrews 11 will tell us about that. He did not fully get the inheritance, so they put all his bones in a box, a bone box, which is what they used to do. And here they are 400 years later, 7 years of conquest, and they take this bone box with Joseph's bones, and they put him in the plot of land that he had bought hundreds of years earlier. I say all the time that God is never late, but he's rarely early. And I look at this and I think, you talk about late. I mean, Jacob finally gets to partake of the promises in a bone box 600 years, 500 years later. Yet over and over through Scripture, there's this mystery to following God. And yet the story over and over is that God is faithful. He is faithful to his promises. Not always in the way we think, but he is faithful and he is trustworthy. He's inviting each one of us to covenant together with him. As a church, let's covenant together with him. Let's promise that we, not will be perfect because we won't, but that we will trust God and we will trust his way. And when we get off the path, we'll ask forgiveness and come back into his way. For he is the one true God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the story of Joshua. Thank you for what an incredible man of faith he was. You think about the Bible and so many who crashed and burned at the later half of life. And to think that his glory days were between 80 and 110. God, for each person here, whatever age we are and whatever the giants are in front of us, God, may we not feel like grasshoppers. Or may we feel like grasshoppers who have a friend that's bigger than all the giants. God, will you in all humility show us how to trust you, the maker of the universe, the creator of all things. For if you are for us, who could be against us? We thank you for your promises. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll see you next week as we start the book of James.